like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, well, heaven and earth proclaim, kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about it. I was sitting over here singing it the whole time they were playing it, and what a beautiful name. The name of Jesus. Good morning, Crossville Church. Thank you all for being here today. Don't forget to comment if you're watching with us on Facebook and let us know that you're joining to worship with us, and we appreciate you being here. Choir practice today at 5 o'clock or small groups tonight at 6 as usual. We've got a lot going on this week. So we've got Trail Life tomorrow night, Monday night at 6:30. For boys age 5 to 17, so please invite anybody that you know of that would fit that age group that you think might be interested in Trail Life and let them know about that meeting. Ladies Quilters are meeting on Tuesday at 9 a.m. in the Good News classroom, so ladies, don't forget about that. Of course, Wednesday night we'll have normal midweek service at 6 p.m., adults, teens, kids, and the adults will continue their study from Hebrews. And then continue to have walking down the Family Life Center. I imagine you all will be in the Family Life Center this week because I think it's supposed to be hot. But Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 10 a.m. So I know everybody who's been coming to be part of that has had a good time. Prayer time, open prayer time on Friday morning at 9 a.m. Doors open for anybody that wants to come and pray. And so we're glad to be able to do both of those things. And thank you for those of you who have participated in both. Men's meeting, prayer breakfast on this Saturday at 9 a.m. Wayne will send out an email this week, but make sure that you respond and let him know if you're going to be able to be there so he knows how to plan. For the month of September, rather than having you bring in any particular food item, Bread of Life is just going to ask for donations. So put your money in the bread box out there, and you guys are always very generous in what you give. And so we're excited to be able to do that. But thank you for your donations to Bread of Life. And normally feeding anywhere between 75 and 100 people, sometimes more. So we're very excited about that, and thank you for your partnership. All right, so you can't say there's nothing to do this week. There's something every day, just about. So, all right, I think that's all I have. Thank you all for being here and your support of the church and your attendance and with your tithes and offerings.
Stand with me this morning as you're able. Let's pray together. Father God, we are desperate for your presence in this place this morning. God, we're thankful for the breath that you've breathed into us. And so, God, this morning, as we worship you, I pray that we would see that as an act of just being able to give a little bit of that breath back to you. God, this morning in this place, we can sense your presence. And so, God, I pray that you would meet with us in this place in a real and mighty way, and that we would know today that we have had an encounter with Almighty God. God, I'm thankful that the God that we serve is not a dead God or a distant God or some unconcerned God, but a God that is living and well today on planet Earth. And so, God, I pray again that you would meet with us in this place and that we would know that we have encountered your presence. And for everything you do, for everything you're going to do, we'll give you praise and glory for it. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Scroll.
One of the great minds of years gone by was approached while he was in the United States by a student from a seminary. And that student asked this question. They said, "Sir, how would you sum up your theology?" And this is what he said in reply. He said, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Here's what I want us to understand this morning. Every church I have ever been a part of, we do these little things where we just have like popcorn songs or whatever have you. And there's always somebody who says, "Let's sing Jesus Loves Me for the kids." I think that when that happens, more often than not, it's probably not so much for the kids. I think what's happening is we're trying to go back to the basics. And we're trying to say, "I want to go back to a simpler time when all I had to worry about was the fact that Jesus loved me. And that was all I had to hold on to." This morning, I want you to understand something. Jesus loves you. And that's not something that changes just because you've got a little gray in your hair. That's not something that changes as the years go by. That's something that's been true from birth and will be true all the way through to death. God loved you enough to send your son, his son, to die in your place. And so this morning, as we sing this song together, let's think about that. It's not just a simple little children's song. It's pretty much the gospel embodied in just a few little words. So let's think about that as we sing together this morning.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you love us so much. You demonstrated your love for us and that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. What an amazing thought. What a way to think about the fact that the God of the universe was concerned enough about us that he would be willing to come to die for us. As Charles Wesley said, amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, would die for me? We're so thankful, Lord, for that today. We're grateful, Lord, for these who have gathered here. And, Lord, you know that we come to this place this morning needing you. As the choir song said, we are desperate for you. Without your presence, without your power, this service is just going to be something that we go through. We'll get out in a little bit and nothing will have changed. But Lord, with your power, you will speak to us. You will help us. And if we will be responsive and obedient to you, we can leave this service this morning, and this service can be like no service that we've ever had before. And so, Lord, that's what we ask you for. May you move on our hearts and lives. Bless those who need your physical touch. Bless those who need your spiritual touch. Lord, whatever we stand in need of this morning, you are more than able to provide for us today. And so, Lord, we ask you that you would bless, use this time that we have this morning to bring glory and honor to you. And for all that you're going to do for us, all that you're going to say through us, all that you're going to say to us this morning, we give you praise, honor, and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I want us this morning to look at John chapter 13. John chapter 13. We're only going to read two verses this morning, verses 34 and 35. If you go back and you look at John 13, basically what you have here is Jesus begins this whole evening. It is the evening of the Last Supper, and he has predicted his betrayal. Well, first of all, he's washed the disciples' feet. He's predicted his betrayal. He's predicted Peter's denial. And all of these things are happening. You go to chapter 14, and there is one of the most quoted verses that we hear. Too bad that we only hear it most of the time at funerals. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. There's more there than just a funeral message. Amen. Thank you for that one amen. But Jesus then promises the Father. This whole evening was so amazing. But you find in verses 34 and 35 something that is so very important. You find Jesus talking about loving one another. Love is so important in the family. I mean, we all know that. One of the best things about going home, and it's that way. If I were to walk into mom's house this afternoon, she's probably watching right now. But if I were to walk into her house this afternoon, first thing that she would do would be hug me. You know? I'm her precious baby boy. I'm her only baby boy, but I'm her precious baby boy, you know? Love is so important in the family. And really, without love, you really don't have a family. You just have a group of people who are living in a house. But not only is love important in a family, but love is also so important in the church. And without love in the church, you really don't have a church. You simply have a group of people who are meeting in a building who are carrying out and functioning. They're not really accomplishing anything because of what Jesus says right here. Listen to what he says here in John chapter 13, beginning with verse 34. He says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It is an amazing thing, as I said just a moment ago. You begin to read, beginning with chapter 13, and you begin to read the next few chapters, and you see all that is happening here. Jesus there in verse 33 says to them, he says, "My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You'll look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I am telling you, where I'm going, you can't come. Not right now. You have something that you have to do before you come to me. But in this whole process of waiting and living and doing what you need to do, I'm going to give you a new command. And that command is that you love one another." Wow. He says, basically, that this love that we're supposed to have one for another is going to be the distinguishing mark of his followers. It's going to be the distinguishing mark of his followers. People will be able to look at you, or they should be able to look at you, they should be able to look at me, and see our actions and our attitudes and the things that we do, and know that there is something different about us. I think I've told you this story before. If I have, just laugh and enjoy it anyway, okay? Susie and I had taken our oldest daughter to Chuck E. Cheese in Huntsville, Alabama. We were living in Albertville, Alabama at that point in time. And we took her to Chuck E. Cheese in Huntsville, one of her and her little friends. And as we're coming back home, and those of you who have gone from Gunnersville to Albertville, if you've ever been down that way, those of you who have gone from Gunnersville to Albertville know that you have to go up the hill out of Gunnersville to get up to Albertville, up on Sand Mountain. And as we're going up the hill, we were just right there in front of what used to be the raceway station, and all of a sudden this car comes across the median, and the car that is beside me right at that point in time slams into the front of our car as we're going down the road. And so we pull over, and she pulls over, and the people who are following her chase the young man down and make him come back. And we're standing there, and I'm telling you that this woman, you notice I did not call her a lady. This woman, she is cussing that young man a blue streak. I'm telling you, she has called him everything that she could and talked about him very ugly. Finally, the state trooper gets there. And when the state trooper gets there, he begins to get all the information together, and he gets her information, and then I'm the last one, and he looks at me, and he said, "Sir, what is your name?" I said, "My name's William Bonet." He said, "Where do you live?" And we told him where we were living, and he said, and "Where do you work?" And I said, "I am pastor at First Church of the Nazarene in Albertville." To which she said, "I knew it, I knew it, I knew it." She said, "I knew you had to be a Christian, just like her husband, because you've not said anything." I want you to know, I've told that story all over creation, because it says a whole lot. It says a whole lot. People can look at us, they can watch us, they can see us, and the way that we treat other people really is going to be the distinguishing mark of who to whom we belong. And Jesus basically shows us that. And I want us to see what Jesus shows these disciples here in these few verses. And there are 4 points. I know we're only supposed to have 3, but there are 4 this morning. And I think there are 4. Yes, there are 4. It didn't change between the office and here. There are 4 points that I want us to see this morning about what Jesus has to say. The first thing that you notice when Jesus talks about this, he says this is the primary thing. It is the primary thing. Look at verse 35. "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples." Well, what is the "this" that he's talking about right there? The "this" that he is talking about right there is love. Love is the primary thing. And I looked up the word "primary" just so that I wouldn't be telling you something wrong. But I did look up the word "primary," and it means fundamental, basic, first, in order of development. It's kind of like "Jesus Loves Me." It is the primary song that we learn as kids. I was amazed one day. I was talking to somebody who had come to the church, and we were talking about it, and I said, "We're going to sing 'Jesus Loves Me' this morning." And they said, "What is that?" They had been raised in church, in a church, and had never heard the song "Jesus Loves Me." I wanted to ask what kind of church you went to, you know. It's the primary thing. It's the fundamental. It's the basic. And it is by love that the church grows, and it's by love that the church operates. You see, love is the basic element in following after Jesus. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, that love is the best or the most excellent way. He says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, when he begins to list the fruit of the Spirit, the first word that he mentions there is love. You see, for a church to grow, it's going to have love. It is the primary thing. And you go back and you look at the Corinthian church, and when you read in 1 Corinthians, you're going to find that there was envy, there was strife, there were all kinds of problems that were going on. And basically what Paul tells them is, you need to get back to the primary things. And that primary thing, the most excellent way, just before he begins chapter 13. The most excellent way is love. Jesus says here that love is the primary thing, and it is by this thing called love that everybody's going to know. Please understand, it is not by our fellowship. And boy, we enjoy our fellowship. We enjoy getting together. We enjoy eating with each other. We enjoy drinking coffee at times with each other. You folks don't drink coffee like they did in Louisiana. We never had a fellowship unless there was a pot of coffee somewhere. But it is that fellowship. That's not it. It's not by our outreach. Although outreach is important. It's not by Sunday school, NDI now. It's not by NYI. It's not by NMI. None of those things are listed here for Jesus to say to us, it's by these things that all men are going to know you're my disciples. The thing that Jesus does say is the primary thing is the love that we have for other people. Wow. It's by our love. That's what's going to tell people that we know Jesus. Well, not only is love the primary thing, but I also want you to see here that love is the proving thing. I've already said that, basically. By this, everyone will know. If you know something, you have come to understand it. I mean, I still understand, even though I watched our youngest daughter do a whole lot of stuff with math that I didn't know what in the world she was doing, I still understand that 2 + 2 = 4. I came to know that as a very young child in first grade, you know. Another reason that I know it is because it's been proven to me over and over again. You know, you look at those kind of things. If something is proven to you, then you see it. I understand and I know that she cares for me. She can say it all that she wants to. But how I know is that when I get home, she gives me a hug. How I know is that when I get home, she's cooked. Now, in Baton Rouge, I proved to her how much I loved her. You know, cooked all the time. And boy, for a while, she must have thought that I thought she was a goddess because some of those things were burnt offerings. I'm just going to tell you. That wasn't in the notes, incidentally. But Jesus says that the proof of our lives is that we love Him, that we love others. I mean, the proof isn't in our giving. It's how much love we share. The proof isn't in our shouting or our praising. It's in how much love we speak. The proof is not in our work. It's how much love that we have. The proof is not in our attendance. It's how much we love the church and we love the people of God. The proof is not in our Bible knowledge. It's in our love for the Word. We should be doing all of those things. But those are not the proof. The proof of our knowing Jesus is love. It's love for each other. It's love for those who come into our midst. And how can we be unkind to people in various places and then accept that we love Jesus? How can we say words that hurt and that really push people aside and then us talk about Jesus? It ought not be that way. I read something this week on Facebook that I'm telling you, it was a meme, and I copied the meme, and I now have it in the pictures on my phone along with all the 8,000 other pictures that are on my phone. Help him, Lord. I want to read this to you. It said, "Be careful with your words because you'll never know how much it keeps repeating in someone's mind." Wow. And can I tell you, that can be for good or bad. There are people that we may know and people that we may see, and we say something kind to them, and all of a sudden, those words ring over and over and over and over again and possibly help to make them what they want, what they can become for Jesus. Or
We can say something that's harsh, and we can say something that is hateful, and those things keep ringing over and over and over and over and over in our minds or in their minds. It's interesting. This is the book of John. But if you go to John's other writings, I mean, he carries through on this thought of love. He's called the apostle of love. You go to 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 through 10, and he says, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in darkness, but whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. That is strong words. Those are strong words. 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 through 18. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Now, I just told you that John is called the apostle of love, okay? But do you know what Jesus nicknamed him in Mark chapter 3, verse 17? Named him and his brother. I hear some of you say, Jesus named these two guys the sons of thunder. Do you know why he named them the sons of thunder? You find that in Luke chapter 9, verse 54. Because there in Luke chapter 9, verse 54, some people had rejected Jesus, and James and John walk up to Jesus and say, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven on these folks? Well, now that would be a way to win friends and influence people, wouldn't it? You know? Do you want us to call down fire on them? Now, I will tell you, I have thought about it a couple of times. Not here. No. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing to see what happens in someone's life when they come to understand and they begin to follow Jesus, and Jesus begins to transform them and change them? They go from someone who is wanting to call down fire on everyone to talking, my little children, we should love one another. It is an amazing transformation. But it is the proving thing. I mean, it proves that John moved from where he was to the apostle of love that was talking to people about how they should love one another and care for one another. You see, the proof of our love comes out in what we say and what we do. Comes out in what we say and what we do. You see, love is the primary thing. Love is the proving thing. But I also want you to see this morning that love is a very personal thing. Verse 34, one more time. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. You go back up to verse 33, and Jesus does exactly what John does. If you go over into the book of 1 John, Jesus calls these disciples my children. Can I tell you what that tells me? John listened, heard the words that Jesus said, and repeated exactly what Jesus said. Jesus is speaking to these disciples in a personal manner. He calls them, as I've already said, he calls them children. I mean, he shows them by all the things that he's doing, all the things that he's saying, all that he is about to do, how much he personally loved them. Now, had I been Jesus' disciples and some of these guys pull some of the stunts that they pulled, I'm going to tell you, I'd have found me some new disciples. But he saw them. He knew what they could become. He knew what they were going to do. He understood that at some point in time they would get it. And that what they were going to get was going to transform them. It was going to change them. And he speaks to them in a very personal way. Let me read it one more time. as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. I mean, it becomes a very personal thing. Love is something that is shared. You know, how many people do you know that have gotten infatuated with somebody, and I'm telling you, they followed, they did everything that they could do to get that other person to love them, but it never was returned. I'm so glad to tell you this morning that Jesus loves you. Whether you return His love or not, He loves you. He wants to be a part of your life. He wants to change you. He wants to transform you. He wants to make you personally better than what you are right now. You see, love is something that people will struggle for. It's something that people will fight for. And please understand, and this is sometimes where we get messed up. It's not everybody loving me, because I know that not everybody does love me. I don't understand that. I'm going to bring it closer to home. It's not everybody loving you. You know? It's you and me. It's you and other people. It's me and other people. It's demonstrating the love of Christ to people. Too often we say, well, if you'll give me love, then I'll love you in return. No. It's not that way with God. God looked at us, and Paul said, God demonstrated His love for us in this while we were still sinners. Let that sink in for just a minute, okay? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrates His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God loved us when we were unlovable. Now, you may not have been a bad person, but I want to tell you, there were probably some people that couldn't love you. But God did. You may still be a hard person for people to love, but God still loves you. God still wants to be a part of your life. You see, God loves us in our unlovable condition, and because of that, okay? Because of that one fact, that God loved us in our unlovable condition, we have to love others in their unlovable condition. You see, we didn't deserve what we got, but God loved us anyway. In Christ, we basically say to people, in Christ, let me love you. In Christ, let me love you. W.B. Godby said that this kind of love is divine love, that it's not something that comes natural to us. It is only because of God living in us that we can say to someone, in Christ, let me love you. One old, I think it was a secular song, said that love isn't love till you give it away. Well, let me just go ahead and tell you, that might have been a secular song. Honestly, I can't remember. I just remembered that phrase out of it. And I didn't Google it. Shame on me. Now, all of you, wait. Don't do that right now. Wait until after church. But I'm going to tell you, we don't truly love until we're willing to give our love away, to give Christ's love away. And we're going to have to give that to people that we may think don't deserve it. We may give that to people that we don't even like. There is a difference between liking somebody and loving them. And you and I, regardless of the situation, are called to love people and be kind and loving to other people, regardless of their particular condition. We are called to love people. It is a personal thing because God loved us personally. Well, the last thing that I want you to see here is not only love the primary thing and the proving thing and the personal thing, but love is a very powerful thing. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. J.B. Phillips, in his paraphrase, says this, just as I have loved you, you must love one another. This is how all men will know that you are my disciples. Get this. Now listen to this. Because you have such love for one another. That you have such love for one another. There is something powerful. There is something penetrating about the love that God has for us. I mean, across the years, I have watched people that basically some people had written off and said they'll never get saved. There's no hope for them. I have watched those people because of the love of God penetrating into their very, 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 very hard heart. Transform them. And there were a lot of people around that at times they didn't deserve loving. But they loved them anyway, and because they loved them anyway, they came to know Jesus as their Savior. Isn't that amazing? I mean, it really is. You see, the love that we have for each other and the love that we have for people outside the congregation, please understand, that can be a powerful force in reaching our community for Jesus. But when we chew people up and we spit them out, please understand, that is a destructive force, sometimes that will not ever be overcome.
A little fella passed by an old man's house every Sunday on his way to church, and the old man knew where the little boy lived, and he also knew where the little boy was going to church. And he knew that the little boy had to pass several different churches as he was going to that church over there. And on one Sunday morning, as the little boy was passing by, the old man asked the little boy, why are you going so far to go to church over there? To which the little boy replied, because they love a fella over there. Something powerful about love, folks. Something powerful about our demonstrating the love that has been demonstrated to us. You see, our love has to be powerful. Our love has to be sincere. Our love has to be divine. Our love has to be such love that crosses all kinds of boundaries. We have put up a lot of boundaries in our world these days. Our love has to be willing to go beyond the economic and the social and the racial and the religious boundaries that have been placed there. Our love has to be like God's love if we are going to be God's children. Amen, William. Good preaching. Our love has to be like God's love in that it comes without restrictions. Without restrictions. You see, the love that we have ought to be sufficient to get us over our differences. Our love has to be sufficient to help us get around all the barriers. Our love, if it's going to be God's love, is powerful enough to do that. I said it a moment ago. This isn't something that we have naturally. This is something that God places within us that allows us and helps us to love those sometimes that are unlovable. I'm going to get real close right here, okay? If the kind of love that we possess is not sufficient to get us beyond some of these things, then we need to go back and start over. If the love that we possess is not sufficient to get us beyond some of these things, we need to go back and start over. You see, the kind of love that Jesus is commanding here, it was enough to get them beyond trying to determine who was going to be first in the kingdom of God. You remember that was another problem that this bunch had. You remember that?
And James and John were too chicken to talk to Jesus about it themselves, so they had their mother go and talk to Jesus. Well, she loved him because a mom loves her kids. She may not have even liked them at this point in time. We don't know. But isn't it amazing that as they began to understand all that was going on, that love began to transform them, and they loved all these people. Even the Apostle Paul had to learn this. I love Paul's writings. Y'all already know that. I love to read what Paul says. I love 1 and 2 Timothy probably more, and Titus probably more than any. Gail told me last Sunday that in the Sunday School Quarterly, y'all been going through Titus. And I love what Paul says to Titus about the Christians there in Crete, or the people there in Crete. I mean, Paul was sending this young man to pastor that church. And he said, "Now, Timothy, I want you to understand it's a golden opportunity, but all Cretans are gluttons and liars." Boy, Titus. And Titus really wanted to go after that. You know, Paul and Barnabas had had a major blow up over a young man named Mark. And now we try to read that into this and say, oh, well, they just had a disagreement. No, they didn't just have a disagreement. They had such a disagreement that they parted company. One went one way, Barnabas took Mark and went one way, and Paul took Silas and they went another way. But you come to 2 Timothy, and Paul tells Timothy, "Timothy, when you come to see me, bring John Mark with you." What had happened? God's love. Yeah, Mark left them. He fled them. He got scared, just like any kid will do sometimes. But somehow, love transformed Paul. The power of God's love transformed Paul to the point that he said, "Bring John Mark with you because he's profitable for me in my ministry." Tears me apart when I read that. Part of the reason it tears me apart is because we have written so many people off across the years. We've said they're no longer valuable. When things got tough, they left. Timothy, when you come to see me, bring John Mark with you. He's important. I need him. I need him for the ministry that needs to be done. In essence, what he was saying is God's love has done something in me to the point that I'm willing to forgive that young man. I'm willing to bring him back to where he needs to be because he's profitable. He's important. You see, God's love is powerful. God's love is powerful. It's powerful enough to get us beyond all the boundaries, all the circumstances, all the situations. It's His love. Conclusion. You read this, "A new command I give you. Love one another as I've loved you, so you must love one another. By this will everyone know that you are my disciples if you love one another." It's the primary thing. It's the proving thing. It's a personal thing. It's a powerful thing. And I see I left personal up there twice. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It's a powerful thing. Folks, it's by our love for both those inside and outside the walls of this building that people are going to know that we are His disciples. You see, it is that love that shows that we are His disciples. It's that love that says, "I'm not going to destroy you, young man, because he pulled out in front of me and it caused a collision. There was no need. It was a car." I kept telling her, as she was cussing him, I kept saying, "Ma'am, we're all okay. we're all okay. It's just a car and they can be fixed. I don't tell you that to pat myself on the back. I didn't even think anything about it until she had her little spell when she found out I was a pastor. Do you have that kind of love for people? Do you have that kind of love that says, they may have wronged me, but I also wronged God, and I love them anyway? Do you have the kind of love that says, they're beyond my boundaries, but because God loved me, I love them? If you don't have that kind of love before you leave this morning, I'm glad to tell you, you can have that kind of love. You can have that kind of love poured out into you to the point that you overflow in such a way with that love that people are going to wonder, what happened to him? What happened to her? What happened to them that they've changed? And you can tell them, I'll tell you what has happened to me. It's the love of God that has been shed abroad in my heart. And I am a different person than I used to be. Let me also say this. If we've said something to somebody that wasn't loving, if we've said something to somebody that was unkind, we may need to go to that person and say, I want you to understand, I was wrong, and I apologize. You see, of all the things that we can do, sometimes an apology is the best thing we can do, because it will show people that something has changed in us. We don't do it so that people will say, oh, well, what a wonderful person they are. No, we do it because God said to us, I love you. And we can say to them, I love you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for what your word tells us. We're thankful, Lord, that even while we were still sinners, while we were without the fold of God, that you loved us and you sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. In just a moment, Lord, we're going to sing just a little song of invitation. And maybe we need to come and say to you, Lord Jesus, I need that kind of love. I need it because of some people that are in my life. I need your love so that I can love them. Or maybe we need to come and say, Lord Jesus, I need to ask for your forgiveness because I've not been loving. I've not been kind. I don't know, Lord, what we stand in need of this morning, but you do. And so, Lord, this morning I ask you that you would help us to have the courage and the boldness that we need to either get up from where we're sitting or standing and come and bow here in this altar, or to get up from where we're sitting or standing and go to someone and say, Lord, I got to do this. I got to ask for forgiveness. Lord, if we will demonstrate your love, it will transform us. It will transform our church. It will transform our community. And we believe that because we've seen it happen before. And so, Lord, this morning, in just a moment, as we sing together, if we need to do what you are calling us to do, to love people, help us, Lord, to come to you. And we thank you and we praise you and we give you glory for that in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. I want us to stand, every head bowed, every eye closed, or just stand. Why don't we? We won't do all that. If God spoke to you this morning about something in this message, something that's not in this message, but you need to pray, these altars are always open. And what a wonderful place to come and to find help, to find peace, to find love like you've never experienced it before. God loves you. And he wants to transform you. Let's sing together.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones too. Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
We have these that have come this morning. Maybe you want to come and join them and pray with them. We're going to dismiss the congregation and let you go. We're so glad that you are here this morning. I hope the Lord blessed you. Glad to have those of you who are a guest with us today. We're glad that you're here. Glad to have those of you on Facebook that joined us. And hope that today is a great day in the Lord. Remember, small groups this evening, 6 o'clock. Choir practice at 5. God bless you. I hope you have a great day.